Today is Monday, the 7th of March. I don't know. What time is it? I'm Adam. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I am doing great. Thank you for asking. Had a productive morning at work, had a meeting, and it is now my lunch break. So I'm recording this show really quickly so that I can get it out for you guys, those of you who are listening. And my listener count has gone up just a little bit, so I guess a few people are listening. But anyway, I did have a meeting. You know, I do want to say one thing about this. So we got new contractors at work. We use a lot of contract labor, whatever you want to think of that. I think it saves the company from having to pay health benefits and dental, and I guess dental is health, but you know, pay benefits basically. And retirement and all of that stuff, because I think that is a big cost for companies. And so we switched. I'm in QA, quality assurance, and we switched companies. All of QA switched companies, and we had to go through this process of, they call it KT, or knowledge transfer. And I thought everything had gone well, but I'm in a very technical role. I'm in test automation, and the problem is that a couple of the new contractors are not as, I don't know, maybe knowledgeable is a good word, or they can't think for themselves as much as some of the other contractors. And I know I need to give them time. I need to give them time to learn the ins and outs, learn the application that we're testing, that we're automating for, learn the, what we call the test framework, you know, et cetera. But it's been, you know, they've had a good, I think we're almost at 4 months now. They're only at about a month on their own without the other. So what happens during a KT is you write it into the contract of each company that if they should leave, or if we should determine not to renew the contract the next year, they are responsible for transferring that knowledge that they have over to the new company or to the new resources. It seems unfair. By the way, I know that we are firing you basically, but you're going to have to train your replacement. So not only are you fired, and you're going to have to go find another place to work. We like you. We really do. But this other company is cheaper. I don't know. So it seems kind of, I don't know. It seems unfair, but regardless, it's called KT. It's called knowledge transfer, and this is what happened. So for a couple of months, the old company is there, and the new company is also there, and they're learning. And then, so the first month, they transfer the knowledge, and then the second month, they're supposed to reverse, and the new company is supposed to kind of do the activities and be monitored by the old company. It never goes perfectly, so it didn't quite happen that way. There was more of the forward KT than there was reverse. And now that the old company is completely gone, I am learning that the new company is still not quite as familiar as they need to be. So I had this meeting. Anyway, the whole point of the story is there are a couple of resources that I'm really having to spoon feed this information to. So I had a 2-hour meeting where I basically told this guy how to do his job. I think I almost did the job for him. He could go back and spend another hour kind of cleaning things up and probably get it, it's done now. So I'm thinking, you know, the next time he asks for a meeting with me, I'm going to say, okay, you need to do this how you think it should be done. And then when we have a meeting, we'll go over it and I'll make suggestions instead of us having a meeting at the beginning of the process and me basically telling you how or doing the entire thing for you. But anyway, so that's what I did this morning. And then this afternoon, luckily, I have some free time to get some things done that need to get done. For those of you who have jobs where you're in a lot of meetings a lot and you don't feel like you have time to get your actual work done, that's kind of the position that I'm in now. So when I have an afternoon with no meetings, I jump up and down. And so what I did this morning, I saw that I had no meetings planned for this afternoon. And so no one could ambush me with meetings the same day, you know, same day meeting. I hate that. You think you have no meetings in the afternoon, and then like 11 a.m. you get requests from people to have meetings in the afternoon. I do not like to be ambushed by meeting requests. But anyway, so I blocked off my calendar for the rest of the day so I could get some actual work done. that's neither here nor there, but that is how my day is going. And so what I wanted to do today really quickly, this is just, you know, this is just a touch base podcast, let you know everything's going fine. But I got a contact email, and I wanted to read that and then talk about a couple of things and give you a new top 8 hate topic. So let's go ahead and read this email. So I got an email from, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this because I've never seen this spelling, but I'm just going to say John Tyson, but the spelling is J-O-H-N-N-E. So I don't know if there's some other pronunciation that I'm supposed to be using there. Anyway, that is how I'm going to pronounce it, John. And he says, "Hey, Adam, just found out you picked up doing your solo show again. Missed it. I've been following you guys on DI, No Longer Plus. Welcome back, man. I really enjoy you on Geeky Gay, maybe more than on DI. I don't know, just saying. Anywho, yeah, welcome back, sigh." So anyway, well, thank you, John, for, I'm saying and anyway a lot. I'm really trying to stop having those vocal tics or crutches, whatever you want to call them. Thank you, John, for the email. I'm glad that you're listening again. And if any of you were listeners at the beginning when I started this thing, and I started doing these solo shows probably in November of 2012, because there was a, I don't know if they even still do it, but I don't know. Basically, there's this month where podcasters are supposed to try to produce a podcast every month. And back in 2012, I was single at the time, and I wanted to try that. I thought, you know what? We're not going to do Dubious Intent every day, so I'm going to start a solo show, and I'm going to do it every day. And so for 30 days, the first 30 episodes of this show, and I'm only on episode, I don't know, 40-something, so, or maybe 50. So the first 30 episodes of this show were that. And I was also doing video at the time, so I did it on YouTube. And yeah, this will be episode 48. So 30 of the 48 episodes, I believe, were all done during that 1 month. So thank you, John. I hope you continue to listen. And I don't know how you find this more interesting to listen to than Dubious Intent. I find that a show with multiple hosts is more interesting to listen to. For some reason, listening to one person go on and on and on is not as interesting to me. But I'm really glad that you find it, and I hope there are multiple other people that also like listening to me talk to myself, basically. So thank you for the email. If you guys want to email me, you can email adamburns.uk@gmail.com. Again, that's adamburns.uk@gmail.com, and I'll give it again at the end of the episode as well. So a lot of things have gone on since the last time we talked, but I cover a lot of stuff on Dubious Intent, so I try not to rehash the exact same things on this show. One thing that I did not cover on Dubious Intent is Mark and I, the weather's getting a little bit nicer, and if you listen to Dubious Intent, you'll hear that we had a whole bush trimming day last week, the weekend before, and my masculinity was tested by the gas-powered bush trimmer. I hate those pull start. Horrible. But you can listen to Dubious Intent to hear that, so I won't go through that. But this weekend, because the weather's been getting nicer, we've started, and I'm not sure if I mentioned it on this show or not, but I mentioned it on one of the shows. Mark got me a Jawbone Up, which is, if you know what a Fitbit is, it's one of those wristbands, bracelets that tracks your steps, tracks your sleep. There's a app on your phone, and you have a goal. So your initial goal is 10,000 steps a day. So I've been really kind of obsessed with getting, and I guess it's been good for me because I've been getting more steps, but I've been obsessed with getting at least 10,000 steps. So last summer we started walking because we have a really nice trail outside of our house, almost like right out our front door. We walk like a block, and there's the trail. And the trail goes for miles and miles. I think this trail may be 40 or 50 miles long. I'm not sure the exact amount, but it goes from town to town. It's not just in one town, and they're wooded, you know, kind of nature kind of areas. You pass, you know, businesses, things of that nature as well. A lot of people bike if they're going between towns. Some people jog, and we've just been walking because I have horrible knees and shins, and I try to jog, and then I can't walk for 3 days. So we've been walking, but Saturday, I thought, you know, it's just kind of boring to just do the same thing all the time. So let's go for a hike. So we have a state park called Devil's Den State Park that's not too far away. And I thought to myself, you know, I bet they have hiking trails there. So we got in the car, we went down there, and we, you know, we set about, we went to the park ranger station or whatever it's called. And we said, you know, what are some good trails? We want to walk for about an hour, hour and a half. So they said, oh yeah, do this particular one. And so we started off on our little trek and we're walking. Well, it was a really busy day. It seems like anytime I have a good idea that everyone else has also had that idea. You know, I decide, oh, this will be a perfect time to go to the grocery store. Everyone else has decided this is also a good time to go to the grocery store. Well, so, you know, the weather is getting nice. I decide, hey, let's go for a hike. Everybody and their dog decides, you know, we're going to go for a hike. And of course, they probably recommend this little simple trail to everyone. So we get on this trail. There are people in front of us, people behind us. Some of them have little children. Some of them have dogs. Some of them have, you know, whatever. And it's, I don't like crowds to begin with. So that was kind of irritating to begin with. But we, you know, we passed by. We did finally, the main attraction was a waterfall. So we got to the waterfall. We took, and we wanted to take a selfie. Well, everyone else wanted to take a selfie too. And I didn't, until we got past the waterfall, I didn't think about taking a selfie with Mark. And I thought, oh, this would be really cute to post on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And, well, we were already past that. Well, there were lines of people waiting to get on this little bridge in front of the waterfall and take their photo. So we're sitting there waiting. We're standing there waiting for everyone. And minutes are going by. But finally, we get up there, take our picture, and move on about our way. And then we get to almost to the end of the trail, and I'm looking down at my app, and I haven't gotten nearly enough steps, but we've already been walking for like an hour. I'm like, this is crazy. Normally when we walk for an hour, hour and a half, I'm like over my number of steps. And I guess because a hike, a lot of times you're going up and down, it seems like it's more work and it may take longer, but you're not getting as many steps as on like a flat trail where you can walk faster and there's not this group of people slowing you down in front of you. But we did that. And then we get in the car when we're done. So we hadn't gotten enough steps. So I make Mark trek around on like some other trail. You know, I just make my own trail. We just walk all over the place, come back, walk around. And we still weren't at our number of steps, but it was time to come home because he had a party that night. And so we needed to get home. So we came home. And then because we hadn't gotten enough steps, I said, you know what, let's finish up our walk on our trail. So we went out and we finished our walk on our trail. But what I found out, I'm just trying to make this more interesting. And when we got in the car to come home, I said, how was that for you? And he's like, it was all right. You know, it's okay. I'm not. And I'm like, oh, you're not really a nature or a hike sort of person, are you? And he's like, no, not really. And he said, we have mountains in the Philippines, but I've never hiked on any of them. So I don't even know if that was a good thing to do, but I thought, well, at least it's less boring than the normal walk. So we did that because I think as part of a relationship, you should keep things interesting. You know, you shouldn't get in a rut of doing the same thing all the time. You should go on dates. We have a restaurant every week that we go to, and even that's starting to get a little routine. So we're going to switch that up a bit. And one week we're going to cook some really fancy thing at home. And so I just thought hiking would be one of those ways of kind of spicing up the relationship. You do not want a relationship to get boring. That's death of a relationship. So the other thing that we do in order to keep our relationship not boring is we go on trips. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the show, but we are going to do a trip to Hawaii in July because our 4-year anniversary of being boyfriends is in July. And we're going to go to Hawaii, or at least that's the plan. And I got to thinking about trips, and there are lots of things, as with any topic, there are lots of things that really bug me about traveling. And so I'm gonna narrow this down, and we may have another topic on travel when, you know, another top eight, but I wanted to do a top eight hates for travel. And I wanted to give an example of what I'm talking about. So we're gonna use air travel as, you know, the thing. And look, I love flying. Love it. I could not like it anymore. Although I don't know, some of you may be aware and some of you may not. If you've been listening to this show for a long time, then you'll know because I did an episode about it. But I was in a plane crash back in 99 and we didn't fall out of the sky. We landed, but it was really stormy. We had to land on the opposite side of the runway and the plane wouldn't stop. So we ended up running off the runway into this field through this rocky hill, you know, down this rocky hill into a field. And we wouldn't have stopped except they have a structure that holds the lights at the end of the runway. And we ran into that. So you wouldn't think that I would love flying because here I am. I've been in this horrible plane crash, but I love the whole experience. I like going to the airport. I like people watching. I like, you know, eating at the little restaurants in the airport, getting on the plane. It gives me a chance to read my book or listen to podcasts or whatever, you know, and I'm not connected, so no one can reach me. So I really like all of that. And I love traveling. Like, travel is my favorite thing to do in the world. But if I can't travel the locations I would like to travel to if I can't fly. So I pretty much had to get over the fear after that because, you know, that's going to be a problem. So anyway, I love flying and I got past that. I had some rocky situations after, but there are a lot of things in flight. People are inconsiderate and they will. So, and there are so many things that it's hard for me to even give an example, but one of the things is those people that can't find a place to put their carry-on. So they go back further or they put their luggage in someone else's, the overhead bin of someone else's seat. And then you get to that seat and your overhead bin is already full because someone else has already put their crap there. I think that's inconsiderate. I think you should use the overhead bin that's in the vicinity of your seat. And I know that's not always possible, but there's those people who don't even bother to look. They go, oh, the first free overhead bin, I'm going to shove my stuff up there. And then when someone who actually has that seat gets there, you know, they don't have anything to use. And the way they do the grouping, how you get on the plane, I think normally they start at the back of the plane and try to go forward except for first class. And so if those people are filling up all the front ones, it's not very efficient. Anyway, so I want you guys to write me and tell me what your top 8 hates are for airline travel. I'm also going to post it on Facebook and Twitter, so you can respond there with hashtag top 8 hate. Anyway, if you want to contact me, please email me. If you're an old listener that is glad the show is back, you can contact me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can listen to me on my other show, Dubious Intent, over at dubiousintent.com. And you can listen to a lot more shows like mine over at pride48.com. I will see you guys next time. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.